you would this morning, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Amos in the Old Testament. If you have a Scofield Bible, we're on page 936. That helps you find it if you have Scofield. If you don't have Scofield, I'm sorry. Look in your context. It's right after Joel, that helps. Right before Obadiah. Page 936. We'll be reading this morning out of the fourth chapter of the book of Amos. Much of the Old Testament is given to us by the prophets, and the majority of those prophets were prophesying the judgment of God upon a nation. And of course, that nation at that time was Israel. Amos is no different. And we read in chapter 4 concerning some of the judgment that God is going to bring onto His people Israel because of their rejection of His Word. And in Amos chapter 4, we'll read verse 1 and 2, and then we'll drop down to verse number 6. Amos chapter 4, verse 1. Hear this word, ye kind of Bashan and all the mountains of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God has sworn by His holiness that, lo, the days shall come upon you that He will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. Look at verse number 6. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread in all your places. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. You'll find that statement made over and over again in this chapter. God says, here's what I've done to you, here's the judgment, but yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Verse 7. And also I have withholden rain from you, and there were yet 3 months to harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have you not returned to me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blastings and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig tree and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm destroyed them, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with a sword, and have taken away your horses, and have made the stink of your camps to come up into your nostrils, yet you have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains, createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought, and maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is His name. When you consider the judging hand of God, I believe that hand, or that judgment, is a strange work for the Lord. The Lord is a God that loves to bless. Nothing would encourage us anymore than to know that God's blessing is resting upon our lives. And I believe there's nothing more that God desires to do for His people than to bless them in His work. But when people of God get far from the Lord, we'll find that God has to bring chastisement upon them. He brings judgment upon them individually. He brings it, we find in the Scriptures, collectively as a in a household. He'll bring judgment upon a family. And here this morning, as we read these verses in Amos chapter 4, God says, I have brought judgment upon the land of Israel. And time again, the verses are given to us, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I believe we in America need to maybe do what verse number 12, where God told Israel, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. I believe we are living in the very last moments of this church age. We are living in the last moments of the last days. We hear the clamoring of war and rumors of wars. We hear of earthquakes in diverse or different places. We woke up this morning and Oklahoma had two earthquakes yesterday. That's something almost unheard of in that area. And I'm not a prophet of doom, and I'm not a prophet saying those are things, but it's interesting to note that the Scripture says when you see these things begin to come to pass, then you lift up your heads, lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. I'm not looking for the different things in the world, because I don't believe anything has to happen. I believe Jesus can come right now. I believe He could have came yesterday. I believe He can come any moment at any time. We as Baptist people, as premillennialists, we believe in the imminent return of our Savior. That means at any moment. Nothing has to happen. Nothing has to take place for Jesus to come. He can come when He so chooses. But we find that God has made a pattern and has given us a plan that we are to follow, and we are to follow His direction. Israel had the commandments of God. We studied this morning in our Sunday school that God had expanded upon those many commandments that He had given them, and now He is telling them, thou shalt do these things. If you don't, this will be what happens. If you do follow, then here's the blessings that will come upon you. But I believe we need to understand this morning that this world is in the dire need of the hand of God upon it. And I'm afraid that that hand will be a hand of judgment. We need the movement of God in our country. We need the movement of God in our lives. And if we do not experience that, then the only thing that's left is the judgment of God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamities. I will mock when your fear cometh. I'm wondering this morning how God is conveying and looking upon this world as He sees the clamoring of this generation. We think we have everything under control, and all of a sudden we have nothing under control. We think things are going our way, and then all of a sudden nothing's going our way. The question is today is, does God still use judgment to bring people back to Him? And I believe He does. Now, I have some preacher friends that do not believe that, and we've discussed that pretty strongly at times, that God maybe doesn't use the same means. But I believe God uses, the Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changeth not. And so therefore, I know these words were written to Israel. I understand that these are written to the nation that God had chosen as His people, Israel. But I do see the principle here. If God does these things to Israel and God brings judgment upon other people, then the reason for judgment is that we are to be drawn back to Him. Because He said, I have done this, yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. So the purpose of the judgment, the purpose of the problems that are mentioned here, is not to bring harm upon the people of Israel, but it's to bring them back in good, sweet fellowship with Jehovah. And they would not take that. They would not receive that. And so therefore, every judgment became worse and more harsh. I believe we need to understand that our world is filled with ungodly behavior, and even our churches are filled with ungodly people and ungodly behavior. From ocean to ocean, we're in trouble in America. And I believe God's judgment is lurking over us, and who knows what is around the future, around the corner. But I'm glad God knows it all, and I'm glad He holds my hand. And He can handle it. He can take care of us. And so this morning, this thing of judgment, I believe is a is a strange work for the Lord, because He'd rather had bless us. Preaching about the judgment of God is not popular. It wasn't popular to Amos. It wasn't popular to Jeremiah. It's not popular to us today. I'm talking about somebody that preaches God's Word about the judgment of the Lord. That's not a popular message. I'm not talking about the Joel Osteen type of messages that everybody smiles from ear to ear and everything's okay. I'm talking about the truth of God's Word concerning the judgment of God upon this world and upon people individually, collectively, and even upon this nation. And that is not very popular. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse 17 says, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God." This is where it starts. It doesn't start at the White House. It starts at the church house. Now, the church house determines a lot of things, and sometimes the White House is in a mess because the church house is in a mess. And America is getting just exactly what America deserves, because we've turned our back upon the Lord. We've rejected Him, and time again, God says, "I have, but you would not." And so this morning, I want us to deal just with this passage here of how God dealt with His people, Israel, in their rebellion against Him, and how that He had to deal out divine judgment upon them. And it was not what He wanted to do, but it's what He had to do to try to get them back in the place where that they would serve Him. You'll notice here in these verses, there are five times that God says, "I have done," and He lists it out. And every time, He says, "You haven't received." And the only result now that takes place when you will not return unto the Lord, the only thing that is left is to prepare to meet God. If we're not going to take what God says, if we're not going to do what God gives us in His Word, then the only thing that is left is preparation, because we're going to meet Him. Every knee shall bow before Him. Every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. And we will stand before the Lord personally, individually, as a family, as a home, as a church, and as a nation. We'll stand before God for our actions toward Him. Notice here in verse number 6, "I have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, want of bread in all your places." Here we find that God dealt with His people concerning, I believe, hunger. He said, "I've given you cleanness of teeth." That means they didn't have anything. They had no bread, and they had no ability. The physical food was not there for them. It may be in our life sometime that we don't have everything that we think we want and everything that maybe we think we need. And by the way, America throws more away than most people have in a lifetime. And we clamor about what we don't have when we have everything. We complain about things that are rough, and we don't know what rough is. We have no idea what rough is in our country. Now, I know there are some people that do. I know there are some people that are in that predicament. But for the most part, Americans do not understand what it means to have want and to have need. If I want it, I'll go buy it. If I can't buy it, I'll go borrow it so I can buy it. I'll go do all those things because I want it. Well, God told Israel here, He said, "I'll give you cleanness of teeth," and He said, "and want of bread." This physical food, the crops maybe are not as productive as they were before for Israel. And even in our own country, the government pays people not to farm their land. Well, have land, don't farm it, get paid for it. That's all right. I'll tell you what, though, the bill collector's coming around today, isn't it? Everywhere we look, things are in a struggle. Everything's in a mess. And people say, "Well, you can cut everybody out except what I get." Oh, we're going to have to realize that the bill collector's here. And God said to Israel, He said, "I've made you want bread. I've made you have cleanness of teeth. But you have not returned to God. What will it take for you to come back to the Lord?" The farmlands are getting smaller and smaller every year. Most of it covered up with concrete. Everywhere you go. Oh, but we're doing great. The natural disasters are more frequent, as I said a moment ago. These are all things that ought to make us know that something is on the horizon. Some problems are ahead of us. And people want to stick their head in the sand and say, it'll be okay. We've done that for years, and guess what, honey? It's not okay now. We're in a mess in our country. We're in a mess around the world, and depending on whether or not they bail out Greece, how we work and how we do. Well, if they bail them out, we'll pay the bill like we always have. Only problem is we don't have nothing to pay with now. I've given you cleanness of teeth. I've given you want for bread, yet you have not returned unto me. What is it going to take? It may be a physical food that we need. It may be a spiritual food that we desire. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." That's a spiritual famine. And I believe if there ever was a famine in our land, it's a famine of the Word of God. You got everything going, everything happening. We have a famine of biblical preaching. Now, I don't think I'm the only one preaching, but I'll tell you what, there's not a whole lot of us preaching the Word of God as it should be. When you get to thinking you're the only one, then you're in trouble. But God says, I'm going to send you a famine. Now this is God saying, I'm sending the famine. It's a famine of a want of hearing the Word of God. We go to our Bible of the Month club and wonder what we're reading. If you don't understand that, that means there's a different one every month coming out. Just buy it and go see what it says. Well, the old prophet said there's death in that pot. And there is. You and I this morning, we have the Word of God sitting here before us. And God says there could be a famine of the land, not of bread and water, but of the hearing of the Word of God. I believe there's a famine of biblical praising today. I almost shudder to use the word praise. Because in everybody's mind, it's this junk that goes on in all these churches that's nothing more than a conglomerate of rock and roll stuff that's put off as praising the Lord. Nothing is ever a substitute for preaching. But praising is good. Praise and worship go together. Praise is our outward expression. Worship is our inward expression to God. We've got it all messed up. We have all kind of teams running across our country, and they have no idea what praise is all about. Churches have their, might as well get in it. Churches have their dance teams. They have their worship leaders. Whatever happened to a song leader? You know what's wrong with that? Because they don't have songs anymore. I talked to somebody the other day, said they visited a church, didn't even know any of the songs they were singing. And I know you told me that, but then I've had somebody else tell me since then they went to a church that they didn't even know what was being said. They'd never heard it before, but yet everybody was just ready. Wow, we had a good worship service. Didn't even mention God. God says, I'll give you cleanness of teeth and a want for bread, and yet you return not to me. There are some churches that have substituted the so-called praise and worship for their preaching. They have their dramas. They have their actions. They have their plays. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with those things. But not to substitute preaching. It is by the foolishness of preaching that God has chosen to save the lost. Every one of us in here this morning that are saved, we got saved because somebody preached God's Word. May God help us to get back to preaching. God said, I did this to you and you've not returned. Somebody said, well, what is praise and what is worship? I think we ought to be able to tell them. The Bible says that we ought to be able to be ready to give an answer to every man, the reason that's hope within us. Our praise is to the Lord, our honor to Him. Our worship is to the Lord, our inward expression of faith to Him. And by the way, most of the time the worship is a personal worship. Somebody says, when's your worship service at Grace? I say, well, it can be any time. Now, my preaching service is at 11. But the worship service might not happen. Sometimes it does. Hopefully, most of the time it does, but sometimes it don't happen. But my worship is not dependent upon my gathering with people. My worship is my expression to the Lord of thankfulness of what He has done for me. And so, God says, I have withdrawn these good things, and yet you still have not returned unto me. Verse number 7, 8, and 9, He deals with His people concerning their harvest. He says here, I made it rain on one city and withheld rain to another city. It came down to where two or three cities would gather into to one, and they were not satisfied. 3 months without rain upon the harvest time devastates the land. We have not seen a great influx in this world of souls in so long that it would shock us if there was a great awakening again. There have been great awakenings. There have been great movements of God. And most of it as a result of not what we advertised or what we thought of or what we thought might work, but it just all of a sudden God moved on the scene and made a difference. I really like the term awakening better than I do revival. Because I believe most people need awakening. Revival revives that which has already been vived, already been awakened. There's a lot of people in this country that go to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night. A lot of people are religious in their actions and religious in their ways, but they do not know the Lord. They need an awakening. Some folks say, well, I struggle with this all the time. It may be because you don't have an awakening. You've got a head knowledge. We've got a knowledge of what the book says, but really down here it hasn't took hold yet. So it could be a possibility there of the need. My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. That's contrition. That's repentance. That's turning from it to something else. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We need a harvest that is Spirit-filled. We haven't seen that. We haven't had that. We need a harvest of surrendering to God's will. We need a harvest of just being willing to do what God says. Billy Sunday made this statement about the harvest. He said, rain is needed for the harvest. Without it, what we reap will not be huge. It will not be helpful, nor will it be healthy without any rain. The Rochester saying, send the rain. I know what they mean. God, send revival. Send the revival. And God said, I've withholden these things, yet you still have not returned unto me. First part of verse number 10, I have sent among you pestilence after the manner of Egypt. God dealt with them concerning their health. He dealt with them on these different issues. He dealt with them concerning their hunger, and He dealt with them concerning the harvest. Now He deals with them concerning their health. God says, I can take your health away. You know, realize this morning, and I've said this so many times, and we understand it, but we don't have to be here this morning. We're here by the grace of God. God can touch our health. I have sent among you pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword. What are the pestilence of Egypt? What did that deal with? Well, the blood turned to water. If you don't have water, you face dehydration. Anybody ever been sick because you're dehydrated? Bad sickness. You know what will change it? Just some water. And God dealt with Egypt and He turned their water into blood. He dealt with them and gave them the plague of frogs. That dealt with their gods. They faced disillusionment. Their God could not help them. Their God was overrunning them. He dealt with them with lice and they were defiled by that. He dealt with them concerning the flies and they faced diseases because of those terrible things that God brought to them. And God says to Israel, I have dealt with you after the same manner. He dealt with them with boils. He dealt with them the disease of the beast coming upon them. The boils, they had to scrape themselves. The hail came. They faced the danger of the problems of the hail. The locusts came and ate up all the vegetation. The death of the firstborn came. And God says to Israel, I've dealt with you the same way. Your health is gone. And you still haven't returned to me. It would look like, just out of pure common sense, that Israel would have said, enough's enough. God's dealt with them now in every facet of their life. Their hunger and their health and the things that are around them and all those, but yet they didn't return to the Lord. Verse number 10, the latter part of it. He says, and have taken away your horses, and I've made the stink of your camps to come up in your nostrils. God says, it hadn't bothered me, but it's in your nostrils. He said, I've affected your horses. Buddy, in this day and time, a horse was very important. Even in the early history of our country, if you stole a man's horse, you could be hanged for that. Because that was his way of getting around. That was his way of existing. And God said, I'll deal with your horses and I'll take them away. But yet you still haven't. What he's talking about here says, I'm dealing with serious, precious things to the people of Israel. What's some precious things that we have? Well, it could be our children. Our cherished possessions. The thing of possessions is killing many of the spirituality of God's people. America has abundance of things. Children are always close to our heart. I doubt there's a day goes by that we don't think of our children. Doesn't matter how old they are. We wonder what they're doing. We wonder where they're going. We wonder what's taking place. Sometimes I'll tell Sherry, I say, call Amy, just find out what they're doing. Not that I care. Just wonder what they're doing. Not that I'm trying to tell them what to do. I just want to know what to do. Are they taking the grandkids to somewhere good? They better be. Are they treating the kids right? They better be. But we are always concerned with those precious possessions. And God said, I'm going to take that away from you. But you still haven't returned unto me. Sad, sad story about the history of Israel. Verse 11 through 13. I've overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And you as our firebrand plucked out of the burning, and yet you've not returned unto me. God says that He has destroyed them. The heart is the seat of emotions. And He said, I'm going to destroy you like I overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, oh, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Judgment is lurking. Judgment is coming. When we will not respond to God's dealing with us, judgment. When we will not respond to what God does in our heart and how He speaks to us, then there's nothing else left except judgment. One day, on the road to Emmaus, there was men that met the Lord, or they met the Lord. And as they talked with Him, they said one to another, "Did not our hearts burn while we talked?" While He talked with us, by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures. God says, "I'm going to deal with your heart." Sodom and Gomorrah, that was a heart issue that had spilled over to a physical sin. You know, we get in trouble because of some things that happen to us. Sometimes we become careless. We're just careless. Then if we're not careful, we'll continue in our carelessness and we'll become callous. A person that uses their hands a lot right across here have calluses. If you keep hitting something, you're going to build up a callus. I've got a callus right here at this ring because it keeps rubbing it in this ring. It's not from work. It's not from manual labor. You know that. But some of you that work out in the fields and do different, you've got calluses on your hand. And that's because it has built up an opposition to the hurt. And that doesn't bother us. Sometimes it's that way in our spiritual life. We build up calloused things, and it really doesn't bother us like it used to. It really doesn't hurt us like it used to hurt. And if we're not careful, that carelessness and that calloused heart will let coldness set in. We just don't care. We've gone, we've made the trip. The Lord has spoken to us time and time again, and we reject. And then all of a sudden, we just, doesn't matter. All of a sudden, it doesn't hurt us like it used to. All of a sudden, it doesn't affect us. Preacher, the preaching doesn't bother me like it used to. What's wrong? We've got a calloused heart. Maybe even a cold heart. I don't cry like I used to. What's wrong? Take a self-examination. You'll find out there's coldness and callousness. I don't feel like I used to. What's wrong? It's because we've grown a far distance from God. And after He has tried and tried and tried, all of a sudden judgment falls. And He tells Israel, "Because I will do this unto thee. I have done all these things. Now you've rejected me. You will not return to me. The only thing left is, Israel, you must prepare because you're going to meet me." I don't know what's going to happen in our country. It's not for us to know. But I do know one thing. I do not find us in this book. If you can find it, I wish you'd tell me. I can't find the great nation of America. You'd think if we were great during those days that we would have some influence upon people in the Word of God. But we're not here. All I know is Jesus is coming. Rhonda was telling me right before church that they just got a news alert over news media that President, Prime Minister of Israel was calling upon the nations of the world to back them because they feel and they think they know that Iran is just one or two short steps away from the nuclear bomb. What does that tell you? He's coming. He's on His way. You know what? As much as I admire Benjamin Netanyahu as a statesman for his country, the world is not going to care what happens to Israel. If you put it to a vote in the United Nations, they'd be voted out of existence if they could. Should that surprise us? No, because they're going to try to annihilate them anyway. The kings of the east, the king of the north, those from the south, drive them to the sea. That's the only thing left to the west. And when they're there, just at the brink of destruction, they cry out to God and thank the Lord He appears. You see, they are His people. Even though He's had to judge them, even though He's had to over and over again, they are His. And He will not let them go down to defeat because they are in His plan through all the endless ages to come. Will God judge America? I believe God has judged America. I believe God is judging America. I believe God will judge America. Why? Because we have not returned unto Him. Thus saith the Lord. This is where we return to. This is what gives us. What can we do? Individually, stay right with God. Collectively as a church, preach what's right. Stay right with God. Well, what if they don't like it? No, what if? They won't like it. Just preach the book. Stand by truth. Whatever happens, happens. Because our God has already promised, I will deliver thee. Praise the Lord, He will. The old king asked the Hebrew children, says, can God deliver you out of the mouth of the lion? Why, He locked the mouth of the lion. Can God deliver you out of the fiery furnace? They didn't even smell burn. Well, I throwed three down there. It looks like there's four. Oh, there was. And you can throw away your book. It says He looks like one of the gods. I think some of the translations say He's one of the gods, little G-O-D-S. Just trash that thing. It ain't worth a fire. It ain't worth the match you burn it with. But that fourth man in the fire was none other than our Lord. He can, He will deliver. And old Daniel said, I'm going to do what I've always done. If He delivers me, fine. If He don't, that's fine too. My God's able. And God help us to have that attitude this morning, that we'll serve Him. Let's stand together. Amen.